Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 146 for September 24th of 2020. And on this week's podcast, we finally get football back in Fort Worth. We hope, especially after that little hiccup in week one. But Iowa State comes to town. We'll be talking about that. We'll also go around the conference, talk a little bit about what's going on in the Big 12, as well as the Big 10 enters the fray, finally. And then we'll talk a little bit about score predictions. And, of course, on tonight's episode, we've got TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. What is up, Dubber?
I'm just excited. Finally get a little football. Finally get Horned Frog football. That's what I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got spoiled with the Dallas Cowboy game the other weekend, so that was nice. But, Hopefully we'll see some additional magic make its way from Arlington to Fort Worth this weekend, so we'll see how that works. We also have TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. What's up, Shannon?
What's up, buddy? Hey, I'm like Doberman. I'm glad to see Horned Frog football. Let's go. It's time.
Amen. And we have TCU football alumni Nathan Hernandez. Hey, Nathan.
Hello.
A man of many words.
Hoping for the best, expecting the worst.
Oh, I know. Lifelong Frogs fan, UTEP college football player extraordinaire, Hunter Nix. What's up, Hunter?
Nothing much. Just ready to watch some TCU football, like everyone else said. It's been hard watching all these other teams play.
The drought has been especially poor. It's been bad. And COVID hasn't made it any better.
No.
And finally, rounding out tonight's panel, we've got TCU chair alumni Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Good to see you. Cheers.
Cheers. It's a great thing about doing a podcast. Nobody can see you drink. All right, so to get us started.
You don't got
to
drive home.
Yeah, and you don't have to
drive home. That's true.
You're already there. So to get us started, Ryan, why don't you run us through a few quick announcements?
Yeah, I mean, usually we would be talking about all the games we've played and all the other sports that are going on, and it's a little touch and go here this COVID season, but that we do have some sports that are doing some things and some sports that are actually about to get started, so I wanted to just quickly run through those. Volleyball starts on October 2nd, and they're starting away at Baylor. And then this coming Friday, men and women's cross country is right up the road at UTA. And then women's soccer was supposed to play at K-State, but it just got postponed. So we will stay tuned to see when they play next. I will say about soccer, they're doing great this year. The student athlete of the week is soccer's Brandy Peterson. She's a junior defender from Atlanta, Georgia. And she helped the team hold Texas to a scoreless game. So they rewarded her this week with Student Athlete of the Week. Of course, we have our game this Saturday at 12:30. It's on, if you can't make it to the game, make sure you turn your TV to FS1 to watch it. I know TCU, make sure to go to Killer Frogs Facebook. There's a lot of different ways you can still contribute to the game spirit that TCU has put out a lot of different updates and ways to follow the game and chime in and cheer. And then Sunday, rounding out the weekend, we have our women's golf team is in Norman, Oklahoma at the Schooner Fall Classic. So we, not only football, a lot of sports are actually starting their seasons. So stay up to date and follow them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you use. And I will say,
a little thing to throw in there is volleyball's moved to the Coliseum now.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So you don't have any COVID problems there. There'd be plenty of room. So
that's true. And, y'all, if you've never been to a volleyball game, I'm personally kind of sad they're not having it in their old gym, which was in the Rickle, because it was close and everybody was really tight in there, and it was so loud and exciting. But this is pretty neat too, being in the Schollmeyer, and like WC said, everybody can spread out and be healthy. And I know the girls are, I'm sure, excited to be playing in a big Coliseum now, but those games are fun. Jill Kramer is just a fabulous coach. The girls are a lot of fun. So come out and definitely support the volleyball team.
Yeah, I don't know about the space issue. The way Coach Kramer packs them into the Rickle.
Yeah.
After a couple of games, who knows? You may run out of social distancing space in the Schulmeyer.
I hope so. That would be fun.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere. And of course, you can always follow all of these sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So you got, you know, at TCU Golf, at TCU Soccer, and at TCU Volleyball. And if you're looking for more information on the games, and of course, just keep up to date on the schedule and any postponements that may actually happen, you want to check Twitter first. That seems to be kind of the way things go these days. So talking about postponements, obviously, kickoff of the season against the Ponies didn't quite go off like we thought. And unfortunately, it looks like the Iron Skillet's move back to Fort Worth has been slightly postponed this particular season. So hopefully we will have a game this weekend against Iowa State. And Hunter, I think we just had some breaking news today with the release of the depth chart. You want to run us through what little nuggets you found in that?
Yeah, we did. So there were a lot of, you know, we have a lot of returning players this year. So there were some, you know, that we knew were going to be, these positions were going to be the same. Offensive line had a few changes. We've actually got a new starter at center with Coy McMillan. Is going to be backing up Esteban Avila now. TJ Stormont is going to be the backup. The left tackle we got from Colorado State, he's the backup left tackle, actually. Austin Myers is going to start ahead of him. Wes Harris is left guard, Quazel White right guard, and then Andrew Coker, the redshirt freshman, is going to start at right tackle, which is big news. You know, another kind of weird thing was Pro Wells, who is our 6'4", 250-pound tight end, is going to start at one of the slot receivers. They've got him at the Y receiver, and Tay Barber is the other slot. And then running back was really the big one to me. So we've got, you know, Darwin Barlow, who was, you know, kind of seen as going to be the guy coming in. And then we also got our five-star guy, Zach Evans, this summer. And neither of those guys are atop the depth chart. Yeah, so Amari DiMercardo is going to be the starting running back this week. And then it goes Barlow at number two. And then Kendry Miller, a true freshman, at three. DeMarkey Foster also at three. Zach Evans also at three. But it did make it known that Zach Evans was the last one. Those are not alphabetical order for some reason. So, yeah, we've got the five-star at the fifth running back, which just, I guess, tells you that we're really good at running back this year.
That means if we have to use the fifth string running back, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, if we have to use fifth string, I think we'll be okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so, you know, the depth chart on offense was really where there were more changes. Defense, you know, a lot of same names and numbers. Ochoan Mathis starting again. Corey Bethley, been here forever. Terrell Cooper, you know, these are guys who have been around the program for a while. A few names that kind of were interesting was Marcel Brooks, our other five-star guy, the transfer from LSU. He is the third stringer at right end and also the third stringer at middle linebacker. A little bit weird because he's 205 pounds. So we'll see how that is on the DN. Looks like he's going to be a pass rush specialist. But, you know, you've got Wallow. You've got D. Winters at the other linebacker. You know, and, of course, the safeties, Morgan, Ardarius, Washington. Those guys have been around. And then at corner this year, one of them is going to be Noah Daniels, who is he's gotten rave reviews, and they're talking about him possibly being one and done because he's been so good. And then Trevius Tomlinson-Hodges is the other corner. So rounding that out, you know, not too many surprises, but, you know, a lot of names on defense that we were expecting and a few surprises on offense.
Yeah, defense sounds pretty stout. I don't think that you said no surprises there.
No, I mean, this defense has a chance to be one of the better ones in the recent years of Gary Patterson and, you know, maybe ever. And, you know, no offense, Shannon, but they got some dudes back there. You know, hey, I know you guys had some teams, but they've got some guys. So it could be a really good defense this year.
It should be. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. Good and bad thing, obviously, missing out on SMU because we don't have that extra game under our belt like some of the other teams in the league at this point. But I think it's a good thing that we get Iowa State after this bye, because Iowa State did not look good in that game against the Raging Cajuns. Obviously, if it, for those Frog fans who didn't quite catch the Iowa State game, and let's be honest, why would you? They ended up losing 31-14 against the Raging Cajuns in a game that was a little odd. But offensively, it just looked like Iowa State was pretty flat most of the game. I mean, they only had 145 yards and through the air, and just barely one 100-yard rusher, and just barely at that. I think he had like 102, 103 yards. So, you know, coming into this, defense being our strength this season, seeing what the offense did for Iowa State, which has kind of sputtered, and again, that could just be first game of the year. I think that kind of plays well, especially given some of the offensive questions that we have going into this particular game. What do you think?
I like it. The one thing I do like is not having a game yet, is because none of us know how the offense is going to be. Because the offense is rebuilt. You know, you got your quarterback that you were dependent on has been out. Now he's, you know, and I think they're all three good quarterbacks, but we have so many new faces. So the good thing is you really don't know, and they really don't know how our offense is going to be. And, you know, and I always believe in Patterson's defense, but we kind of know, you know, the players they have and stuff like that. So, you know, that's the advantage we do have. But, boy, you know, you always hear teams, the biggest improvement a team makes from the first week to the second week. So, I mean, first mm-hmm. game to the second game. So, it'd be interesting to see what happens. But you know what? This is going to be kind of a weird year because everybody can come back if they want to. Everybody's getting their eligibility. I mean, and so there's not – I mean, there'll be a Big 12 championship, we think, unless things go south. I mean, you know, but, you know, it's not like there's – it's just going to be a weird year. I mean, everything – you know, you – I guess we'll have a mythical number one, but not really a true, you know, not playing through the playoffs and stuff like that. So if you're going to mess around with your roster, you're going to play three quarterbacks, mm-hmm. if you're going to mess around with your line, if you're going – this is the year to do it. This is the year to find out who can play for you.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's no redshirt rules. There's no rules. I mean, everything's going to be forgiven, so play them all. Like, if I'm playing freshman on special teams, everything I can do, you know? I mean, they could redshirt again next year if they had to.
Yeah.
Play them 10 this year.
Crazy thing.
Yeah, play them 10.
The hard thing's going to be, I know we're kind of getting into next year, you're only going to get so many scholarships still. And so it's how they're going to be able to do all that and who stays, who goes, who, you know.
But, I mean, that's honestly a great thing about this team. We've only got, like, six guys on the two deep that are seniors. It's not like there's a ton of seniors that would, you know, maybe come back for another. This was kind of our year in training to be the really good year we thought could be for 2021. This is kind of the year that we thought we could build and kind of grow up a little bit. Well, we get a full year of fake games for it, or not fake, I guess, but, you know. Weird games.
To me this is set up to be as you were saying, Hunter, with playing three different quarterbacks, especially from a defensive standpoint, it's shaping up to be like, okay, we have the defensive power, we're going to load up there to see what our offense got, but we're going to be very strong on defense to give those guys more opportunities to play as many people as they can on offense to mm-hmm. see how we can move the ball down the field, what's our scheme, what we're doing, because we have so much on defense. Mm-hmm. To me, this is going to be a defensive year because we're so deep. And we don't know what we're going to get at running back. You know, we don't know what we're going to get on O-line. We don't know what we're going to get at a quarterback position. And we're going to have to figure that out. And so with no preseason games – We're going into this thing saying, okay, to me, defense is going to be our strength, and mm-hmm. we're going to see what our offense can do to help us out. Yeah. And by all means, whatever mistakes that happens, whatever rotation needs to happen, defense is going to have our back. And that's your typical Gary Patterson type of team, to be honest with you. As long as we feel, and again, we hadn't seen anybody play, we have a defensive team right now going into the season. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. I think it's going to be an eye opener. We'll see. We don't know what we don't know. You know.
No, exactly. I mean, we haven't even mentioned we have two new offensive coaches. Like the guy calling plays and the head offensive head coach. We have no clue what they want to do because Meacham runs an air raid offense. Jerry Kill runs a pro style, you know, kind or more of a pro style quarterback offense. And then, you know, you've got Cumbie, who we've had the last couple of years, who spreads it out, but definitely not the air raid like Meacham does. Yeah. So we're like,
I don't know how you would classify Cumbie's offense.
Yeah, it's a new version of the Sharp offense, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about the new coaches. I'm just excited that I think our offense is going to be better than what people think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And, you know, the thing is, I think the reason why he's looking at the three different quarterbacks, too, is, you know, because they all had – I think they all had their different strengths. Mm-hmm. And so if one's not working, I can see them, like I said, rotating right in or right back out. And I'm going to tell you, one of the strengths of our whole team, offense, defense, I don't care, those running backs, I'm telling you right now, we got some hosses. And I mean, we got three or four or five kids. I mean, we got three I know that are hosses for sure. So, you know what? I think at first we'll be relying on the run. I think we'll do it in a spread out deal. I mean, I can see that's why
we're going to go fast.
A slot position because he's a big guy that can block and catch.
Yep.
And I don't think we're going to try. I don't think our team's built to necessarily run between the tackles. I think we're going to try to keep
people out. Stretch the field. We're going to stretch the field. We're going to see who can stretch the field. We're going to see what the run game looks like. It's going to be a mix and match of all that, guys. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. And to me, the quarterback who can stretch the field and we can mm-hmm. be balanced with the running game, that's going to be it. That's going to be the attack, in my personal opinion. Yeah. Because we have to establish that running game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, as well, like at quarterback, Downing could come in and do great because I think we do have some playmakers on this offense. I mean, you look at the running back position alone. I think we've got two or three guys there who, I mean, I saw DeMarcus Foster last year, who's basically the number four right now. I saw him rush for 90 yards against Kansas in his first college game last year, and he made them look bad, you know, but we could redshirt him. So we did. Same with Darren Barlow. He was a stud. And then you've got all these new guys like Quentin Johnson, who's on the 2D. Savion Williams, you know, we've got 2 6'5" receivers who are brand new guys, and those aren't even starters. You've got Pro Wells and John Stevens, 6'4" and 6'5" on the slots. We've got some size, we've got some talent, and we're finally getting this better recruit. I mean, you look at our offense and the two deep. I mean, we've got a lot of 4 and 5 star guys, which we've never had. Which, you know, I know that's not the TCU way, but it can't hurt. You know, if you look at it, every national championship team has had over 50%. Blue chip recruits, and that's a 4 or 5 star. So we're moving towards that direction.
Yeah.
Well, like about Downing, and everybody doesn't understand, he's a smaller guy, so he didn't get recruited, but he was the 6A player of the year in
Georgia.
Yeah. I mean, he was
a stud.
He was considered the best football player, or voted the best player in the state that year. It's just his height and this and that. All I know is the guy was a winner. I like winners. I like efficient quarterback spot.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's gained about 10 pounds too since last year.
Yeah.
So he's put on a little bit of meat. I
see what offense is going to look like with Kills and with Meacham back and, you know, with Cumbie in there. Because Cumbie and Meacham made a pretty formidable attack when they were here together. You know, them a few years. And so, you know, I'm just excited. Of course, I'm just excited to see football. Knock on wood. I hope what happened is by the first game getting canceled is our kids kind of got serious about staying away from COVID.
Yeah, you know, when I went up there to grab my press pass on last week, actually I got a chance to talk with Cohen a bit about how that was going on, and yeah, that did kind of put the fear of God in him, made him realize, yeah, you got to stay away from parties, you got to stay away from all this stuff, and that's good. And of course, the issue right now is going to be the student body at large, whether or not they were able to do the same thing. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to make it into the stadium. And I think that's going to be key, though, for us. If we can get the students in the stands, I think that's going to make up a lot for the fact that we're going to be only down, what, 25% in capacity starting out. And hopefully that goes up. I mean, with what we saw with what Greg Abbott ordered, as long as your county's under, what, 15% or 10%, or maybe it was 15%. If you're under 15%, you can get up to 75% capacity at some point in time. So hopefully that can go into effect by the time we get a little bit further into the season. But I think having the students there is going to be helpful. But yeah, definitely that missing out on that SMU game, that was a wake-up call for a lot of these guys to take it seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So just to put it in perspective, our stadium holds about 46,000, and we will have 12,000 in the stadium this Saturday. And I don't, you know, I watched the OSU game last weekend, and they did the same thing, and it was still a great environment. The fans still are yelling, and they're spread out, but spread out all over the stadium. Same with even the Cowboys game this last weekend too. I think it'll be, it's not going to be like it usually is, but I think now with our east side built up, we'll hold the noise in a little bit better, and I think it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because obviously there are a lot of stadiums that are a little bit more advantageous when it comes to crowd noise with a smaller crowd, and OSU's definitely is going to be at the top of that list if you've ever been there before, just because of the way that bowl sits. But yeah, with that east side, and it looks fantastic. I mean, when I was out there last week, it looks great. Yeah. Hopefully that does kind of keep that noise in, like I said, from that student section, but we'll see on Saturday. Hopefully.
I honestly just want to hear what Patterson says that we don't ever get to hear because it's too loud. I kind of hope we get a hot mic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I really want that. I want that inside access.
You don't want to hear it.
I do want to hear it because it's not at me. I want to hear it, okay?
The best thing is
now I want to hear.
You're on TV. If you're watching on TV, there's a good chance you might hear it.
I know. That's kind of what I'm hoping.
Hey, welcome to the late 90s, baby.
You'll hear in the first half, and then he'll lose his voice.
That's true.
If LP can throw a trick with about 500 fans in the crowd, you know, they can be all right with like 12,000, you know.
He yells at the spring game.
So what was that, Nathan? Sure.
I said he yells at the spring game. You can hear him then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and they're limiting how many people they allow on the sidelines. So there's only like four photographers for the entire game. Not per sideline. That's
he probably all likes of that.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely
true.
Oh,
he loves this.
I did want to. We always, Tony is our photographer, takes great pictures, and I contacted TCU to see if he would be allowed on the field, and they were very nice. But said that, you know, of course we couldn't. I mean, they aren't allowing hardly anybody. And we're thankful that we get to be up in the press box. You know, Sean's going to be up there, and Nathan's actually going to be in the stands, and we'll still be able to cover the game really, really well. And just thankful that they let us have a seat at the table, so to speak, up in the press box, because it's going to be pretty sparse up there. I can imagine. So.
Yeah. 20 media in the press box.
I ask you a question. So the SMU game, is it postponed for another site, or they try to make another date, or is it done?
They say that it's done. It's not happening.
I don't think they're going to have another opportunity to do it.
Yeah, they're not going to take one of the bye weeks away later in the season. They're just not going to be able to make it happen, is my prediction. That's just say.
Well, all I'm saying by what I got is a ticket holder. It came back. They're going to try to reschedule that game. So
they might treat it like almost like bowl game, not like all the stuff with it, but just put it later in the year.
So then it really will be SMU Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it already is.
Maybe they'll let us play Cowboys Stadium.
If you got a chance, you might do that. If you're not in the Big 12 championship or this or that, you might end up play that last game.
I don't see a way that they're making bowl games happen this year, right?
They're not.
There's no way.
They're not doing them.
Yeah, there's no bowl game. So
I know college football playoffs. They said they want to have one, but
yeah,
who knows?
But they're not gonna send people across the country and stuff. So
this would be the perfect year for them to expand the playoff from 4 teams to 8.
It would be a nice little segue into that, but I don't think they're going to. But
no, I don't think so either. Stranger things happen.
We all love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because Hunter asked me earlier, I don't think Meacham has much to do with play calling right now. Last time I had talked to him or heard from him, I still think it's majority Jeremy Keel and Cumbie.
Okay.
But that could change. Because I remember 2013 season, it was literally like one half of the first half, Sharp would call the offense. Not Sharp. Coach Anderson would call the offense. And then second half, Coach Burns would call the offense. So it just kind of depends on how it's going. It's honestly similar to the like the whole quarterback situation we're talking about. We can do whatever we want.
COVID.
Yeah.
Unprecedented times. We don't know
what. We can switch out who we could try so many different things during the season and during games. Like there's like, I don't know. That's my whole situation with this game and then this whole season, because you don't know which way things are going to go.
No.
Any way whatsoever. Like, you give Coach P a month to prepare for a team, odds are he's going to have a very, very good game plan, like we did with Ole Miss. But then it just depends on how the players execute or not. And so that's home. And then every game is pretty much a Kansas game compared to the crowd. So Coach P loves this.
Kansas game, 3 p.m. in August.
Yes.
Yes.
This is Coach P's favorite because, one, there's less people on the sideline, and two, there's not as many fans in the stand, and he wants to see who's going to come and play just to play, just because they want to play.
Yeah.
Not for the people in the stand. He just wants to see who's going to play for him.
And then also he has an excuse to close everything and be as secretive as he wants to. Absolutely. This is like his dream. The
doesn't COVID have to season. Let people in practice.
Yeah, he doesn't have to let anyone see anything. It's just a complete secret until game one. It's like before there was internet.
That's why I think the whole depth chart is like kind of just like right now.
It's smoke and mirrors.
It's give people something to play for. Like, oh, you didn't make it that far in the depth chart, then fine, prove it. And then also it's like, it's not, I think it's a very tentative depth chart.
I agree with you there, especially. So I was looking back at last year's depth chart because of, I was like, let's see how the first week depth chart usually is. And last year, Darius Anderson was the third string running back going into game one. So, this is not a new play from the GP playbook.
No. Like, they don't even name a starter until, like, the 2 days before the freaking
game. Exactly. So, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, like you guys said, there's a lot of question marks going into Saturday, but hopefully we come away with a win and we get some of those questions answered before halftime. Who knows? But it will be interesting to see. So, let's talk a little bit more about the conference. So obviously there's been not just TCU and SMU been canceled. There's a lot of teams that have had games canceled. Most recently we got Texas and Houston got postponed.
Baylor.
Due to
contact.
Baylor-Houston.
I bet on that game and it didn't happen.
Yeah, terrible. So, I mean, You never know this season. And, of course, the Big Ten wasn't going to play at all until – I don't know who – whether it was the Nebraska AG threatening to sue or Donald Trump coming in on a white horse. I have no idea who to believe about this particular aspect of the story. But the Big Ten now apparently has decided, oh, yeah, we'll play football after all. Mm-hmm. It's a crapshoot. I mean, it really is this season.
Has the Pac-12 decided anything yet?
Not to play.
Yeah, they're still not playing as of now.
I mean, I guess they just don't really care because, I mean, with the Big Ten, I mean, honestly, everybody's sitting back watching NFL play, high schools play.
I think the Pac-12's got a lot of other things to deal with, too, in terms of, like, California fires, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Unhealthy environment.
No, their air quality is horrible out there. That's right.
And yeah. Let's be real. The conferences can try all they want to have games for 10 games this year, but – we'll see how it goes after you get college kids back on campus everywhere partying. Because I hate to say it this way, but we'll see how much, you know, football teams really want to play after they're 1-3 after 4 weeks. Like,
if you're a freshman
who thinks, you know, that doesn't care, you're going to go do something stupid. I'm not saying with TCU even, because I think TCU recruits a different type of player. You know, for the most part, you know, GPA stays away from a lot of the knuckleheads. But, like, if I'm West Virginia week four.
I mean, Shannon played there. So.
the bad thing about it is it only takes one or two.
Exactly. It takes one or two.
Yeah.
Like, it goes through the whole thing. You know,
well, heck, BYU had to warn everybody, stop partying.
Exactly.
I mean, what sort of party are you having at BYU?
Well, here's a question I have. What happens if a player – because I just have a friend who just got the flu, right? It wasn't COVID. It was the flu. She even got her flu shot, and she still got the flu. So if there's players that get the flu but not COVID, you don't have to quarantine, right? It's only if you have COVID you have to quarantine.
Yeah.
If you're puking your guts out, it's okay. You can be in the locker room.
You go out there. Okay.
Right.
It's all crazy. Well, and the rules are that, like, so there you have to have 53 players to play. You have to have at least one quarterback. You have to have 4 D tackles. And you have to have, I think, 7 O linemen. I mean, if one of those outbreaks hits an O line room, what are you going to do for 2 weeks? Like, all those guys literally are right next to each other all day. Like, they're together all the time. Like, you're putting 14 guys in one room to watch film and stuff. If one guy gets it, they've all got it. Or at least they're all quarantined for 2 weeks. So what happens then?
I think the 53-person requirement is ridiculous. I want to see, you know, Iron Man football. I'd like to see some of these rosters to get down to, like, I don't know, 20 or so, and then you have a lot of guys going both ways. That'd be great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If they didn't have that rule, it would have happened. I mean, TCU was down to, you know, that's why we missed our first game. We were under 53, I believe.
That's kind of a silly rule.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to play without, you know, like, it should be your decision. I don't know.
Yeah, well, for a season where we are talking about throw out all the rules, unfortunately, that one is a stickler.
Not me.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah,
not much you can do about that. So, yeah, I think the betting is over under on how many teams actually get to play this week rather than, you know, what the scores end up being. But it's going to be interesting week to week because you've got these teams. A lot of these guys are being tested almost on a daily basis now, and with we're talking about with the Baylor situation with contact tracing, you know, like you said, Hunter, one guy catches it, you know, you're out.
Yep.
And if it hits one of those positions that you have to have, well, you know, you're gonna have to that'll end that game, period. And depending on when it happens, it may affect two games rather than one, which is going to be interesting. It's already happened to us. It's already happening across the conference. It's only going to be a matter of time before, you know, I don't know, this hits a crescendo at some point in time, and everyone just kind of throws their hands up, and who knows what's going to happen at that point. But hopefully not. Hopefully the trend is downed, and hopefully we can finish out a season. But
yeah,
we'll see.
At this point, I'm just trying to be 1-0 this week. Because that's all that's guaranteed, and it's not guaranteed. That's all that's guaranteed at this exact moment. But at this point, I want to be 1-0 on Sunday or Saturday at 5 o'clock because I don't know that Sunday will happen.
Are there any other Big 12 matchups this week?
Yeah, every team is playing Big 12 games this week. So Kansas State is at Oklahoma.
Okay.
West Virginia is at Oklahoma State. Texas at Tech and Kansas at Baylor.
Wait, what were y'all saying about the Houston Baylor game got canceled?
That was last week.
Last week. Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Last okay. Week. I was thinking that was this week. Okay. Perfect. That'll be interesting. We'll have a lot to talk about next week, hopefully.
We will. Yeah. I mean, and really, you know, Oklahoma's probably going to kill K-State because K-State didn't have the best game.
K-State's like a zombie at the moment.
Yeah, it was bad. It was real bad. And OU, it just seems the Lincoln Riley offense is not slowing down anytime soon. Mm-mm. This is his fifth quarterback who's putting up big numbers. So, you know, and it's the first one he's recruited. So it's not looking like it's stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I mean, between Texas and Texas Tech, I mean, I don't see how Texas Tech walks away from that game.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all. And Oklahoma State against West Virginia, again, there's another team that needs a lot of help is West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I don't see them.
I mean, Oklahoma State didn't do great last week either.
That's true. Yeah, they didn't look good.
True. They did have their quarterback. The new guy kind of looked good, though.
They lost their quarterback. I thought they went through
three quarterbacks.
They did. They went through. The first one got hurt, Spencer Sanders. Mm-hmm. The second one came in, didn't do well. And then they put a redshirt freshman in, and he came in and threw. Yeah, he did good at the end. So, you know, I feel like OK State will be okay. They've got Chuba Hubbard. He's going to be fine. He's the best running back in the country.
What a name.
Yeah. And then you got Kansas at Baylor. You know, Baylor's going to get a win probably. It sucks.
But let's can just we remember, hope for a Kansas victory?
We can hope for a Kansas win, but at least Baylor has to stay in Waco after the game. You know? They don't get to leave, so I'm good with that.
And there's another one of those stadiums that I think will do fairly well with a smaller crowd.
Very much so.
Because as we know, toilet bowls do reverberate quite a lot. So that'll be a good game. Let's talk about score predictions. Where I think we're at the 40-minute mark, so I think we're winding down for tonight. Let's go ahead. Score predictions for the TCU Iowa State game, and let's start with Shannon. Shannon, what do you think?
Well, man, this is the hard one because you see. You just don't know what you don't know. So I'm going to go low-scoring game, 27-21, TCU, obviously, at home, our first game, based off a lot of energy. With Iowa being a little beat up, I don't even know who, you know, we have as far. I don't know our injury report. You know, they haven't released anything yet. So I'm going to go 27-21 us. And that's basically not knowing what we don't have, who's starting. You got three quarterbacks coming in. You don't know what, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have to score all the way around because we just don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be a sloppy game from us. It's going to be that roller coaster type of game for us. First week and those guys having to play a game, it's just, you just don't know. And I've been thinking about that. Like, I don't know if that hurts us or helps us. I really don't know. So, go 27-21 TCU. We'll pull it out.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. So yes, you mentioned the quarterbacks and the uncertainty. If Max had not gotten injured or had to have surgery and was the starter all spring and starting on Saturday, does that change how you feel about the score?
That changed. That because for me, it changes because of the leadership and what we know, what we've, you know, coming off last year, I think we put up more points. I'd have been more in the 30s, you know, putting some points up and those guys holding maybe to 14, something like that. But we just don't know. We don't know these quarterbacks coming in hadn't played and we hadn't seen them. We don't know the jitters. I just get playing when you're going first time quarterbacks, all that kind of stuff. They're more anxious, excited, adrenaline. You're throwing picks. I think it's going to be a sloppy first half until everybody calms down. So that makes a big difference for me. huge difference. So, yeah, I would definitely I'd be more predicting to call a blowout type of situation. But I can't knowing football the way I do, it's going to be a little bit more closer than I think.
All right. Ryan?
So this is what I think. I think we had a crappy season. Obviously, it is just a really crappy season last year. So hopefully that means we will be great this year. That's typically how it goes. I also think that, you know, like Nathan was saying earlier, Gary's seen Iowa State play. And so he's had a little while to make some changes if he was going to make any at all. And he's had plenty of time to plan. They have no clue what we're going to be doing because we've had to switch quarterbacks. And like we were saying earlier, everybody's just so tight-lipped about everything. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a messy game, but I think our defense will come out and be crazy good like always. I think our offense is going to play cleanly, and I think it'll be 31-13. It's a weird score, isn't it? You flip them, see what I did there? Yeah, but I think that's what it's going to be.
13? What's your pre-match score?
Do what?
What's your with match score?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you know, I like Max, and I think he's gonna. I hope he comes back. I think they both. I mean, he would obviously score more, but I don't. I think it's gonna be a good game, and we're gonna put up a good amount of points. I think Max might get into the 40s. I feel like this is kind of like the old. I guess probably because Meacham's back. Like, I just had this feeling that it's gonna be, you know, like it was with the
we got the band back together.
Boykin and Doxson days, you know.
Yeah.
No, no, we're due that. We deserve that.
We got the juice on offense again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works out. All right, Hunter, what do you got?
I have a score of 24-17 this weekend, Frogs. And that's with a lot of help from the defense, I'll say that, because I think they will have a defensive touchdown this week. I'm going to call that right now. Someone's getting a defensive touchdown. It's going to happen. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a close one, but I do think we'll pull it out in the end. We could go down early on because I think early on it might be ugly just because we haven't played. You know, I think the Frogs are going to pull it out. Our defense is really good this year and can carry us a long ways.
Yeah, and it was okay. So since you asked Ryan, what's your max score?
34-14. 34-14. Yeah. So not much different. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think we were going to come out and play better defensively no matter what this game. We're young on offense. It's going to be a little, you know, we'll see what happens. This offensive line's got to gel. You know, Max, yes, we saw some glimpses, but it's not like he went out last year and just had – it's not like he was, you know, a freshman All-American. He had his ups and downs. It's going to be a big year for him, but not this week.
Towards the end of the season.
Yes, exactly. Towards the end. So
it's always shaky in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, he said like 6 practices since he started this year. I can't expect him to be – ready to play a game by then.
Right. Yeah. Good point. All right, Nathan.
I'm actually going to go close to Shannon. I'm going 27-24. Just because I think first game, there's going to be some jitters. I think the defense is – we have a good defense. I think they're still just going to make some bonehead. Someone's going to do something boneheaded, and we're just going to give up a couple. Coach P won't be very happy, but he'll get it fixed from week one to week two, you know. If we're doing max scores, I really don't think it changes much for me. I'd say maybe 31-24, just because I do think there's still those first week jitters. Everyone's still kind of getting used to game speed versus practice speed and all that. And so,
okay. Dubber.
I'm going to be a little different because I just got a feeling our offense is going to be a lot better than what people think.
Oh, you're stealing my thunder.
And go ahead. I just think that, you know, with two coaches and I think with the quarterback being a little more experienced, even Downing, because He played a little bit. He got to play just a little bit in the SEC, you know, in Georgia. So you know, even though it's just a little bit, he's still been out there. And I just think – and I don't – funny thing is, I don't worry about the quarterbacks near as much as I worry about the offensive line. I mean, because if the offensive line, I don't care how good you are at quarterback, I don't care how good you are at running back, if they can't block nobody, you ain't doing anything because you don't have time. But – I just feel good about the way this coaching staff's been put together this year. I feel bad about the whole Max deal. That kind of set us back a little bit. But my prediction is going to be 31-17 because I do believe this. I believe that it is going to be sloppy to a point, but I believe our defense is good enough that we're going to get a lot of opportunities. I do believe that. And I think we'll give up one silly touchdown on defense like we usually do, it seems like. You know, we do have a couple young guys out there. And I will say this. You know, our defense has to get better at the pass rush this year. I mean, that really hurt us last year just because, you know, Patterson's defense is – it's all about getting to the quarterback and making him – throw the ball. You keep them guys out there on the island too long, I don't care how good you are. You know, you can get burnt. But I think 31-17, and I think if Max would have started out the whole time and everything, I'd have went 35-17. But at least this is the first week. Nobody knows. I mean, because we've heard nothing. I mean, you know, so if I'm going to make that prediction, it's going to be this week. And you know what? I've looked at some of the other college games that started first game. There's some pretty good scoring going on from some people that you didn't think could score. You know, so anyway, 31-17.
I'm kind of thinking your way, but I'm going to take it a little bit further.
You are a very smart person, Sean.
Someone save that. I think that's the first time he's ever said that on this podcast. I'll take it. But I also kind of agree with Hunter. I think that the defense is going to score in this game, but I think it's going to score twice. Although I do think that we are going to give up a turnover at an unopportune time and probably will lead to a touchdown by Iowa State. So I'm going to go 41 TCU, Woo! 13 Iowa State.
Ooh, I like it.
I really like the way this defense has really come together. And I'm like you, Dubber. I think that this coaching staff has taken a lot of pressure off of Patterson. I think the last couple of years, there's been a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on him. And you've seen that in the way that he's tried to stand away from the offense, but at the same time, kind of be that kind of hovering parent, which of course, just all that stuff just slides right downhill. I don't think any of that's happening this season. I think he totally agrees and totally understands and trusts those guys on the offensive side, and that's allowed him to kind of focus a little bit more on the defense. Now, of course, I agree with Shannon. You know, he's got a couple of 41 on it. I think offensively, I'm with you, Deborah. I think that this offensive line is going to be a lot better than what we've seen in the past. I like what we have at running back. And I think if Downing comes in and is able to do something that's from what we've been able to see from him in the past, and I like the way that he's kind of bulked up a bit in the offseason, and I don't have a problem with him running this offense. I do agree that it's going to be a little sloppy in the first half. It's going to take some time to get that jitter down, and I think that's where that turnover is going to come into play. But I think offensively, I think we're good for 3 touchdowns and a couple field goals, and I think the defense is good for 2 scores as well. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I'm going to stick with 41-13 on this game.
You know, Shane, you made a good point as far as the coaching staff's kind of all relaxing. Well, hiring kills and even Meacham, but really kill. It also, I think, is going to relax the offense.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about Patterson hovering. Well, I think it relaxes the offense a whole lot more, too, where they feel like they can go out and do what they need to do.
Well, and not only that, when you add Meacham to the mix as a former offensive lineman, if he's seeing something on the offense that isn't gelling, and it's because the offensive line, he's able to step in and give instruction, something that we've been missing the last couple of years. So between the way that Kill runs things, I think that Cumbie desperately needs that sort of mentorship right now. I think that this offensive staff is set up perfectly, as long as they work well together, and I have not seen anything that says that they aren't, as long as they work well together, this could be the, quote, dream team for coaching staffs in the Big 12 this season. So Lincoln Riley be damned. I think this is the coaching staff.
Hey, we can't let you off the hook, man. Well, that's kind of score. What's your max score, buddy?
Max score, I would have said 41-7 without the turnover and without having to need the defensive scores.
Okay. That's good.
And then maybe go 48 if you throw in a defensive score as well. I mean, yeah, I think this defense is gonna really be just one of those kind of defenses that we're used to seeing, like, you know, Shannon.
I agree.
Yeah. So I think that'll be good.
I agree. Y'all got a couple of spots and they got to grow up. And like you said, they got the game speed, game tab. But of course, I picked 31-17. So I got a lot of faith in everybody, really.
Well, the good thing is a lot of those guys are already quick. Right out of the gate. So, and again, I think that just the way that Patterson's been able to focus in on the defense a lot in the offseason, I think that's going to pay dividends right out of the gate. So we'll see how it goes.
And don't forget, they beat us last year. I don't think we're going to lose to them twice.
No, I think a lot of those guys remember that.
And they didn't just beat us last year. They put a beating on us.
They beat the crap out of us last year.
They did.
That was the worst game of last year.
That was the worst game. That's
what I was saying. Yeah, we weren't. That was the one we just were never in it.
So long ago, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I barely even remember it. Yep.
COVID has me not remembering what time is. Like, I have no, I have no basis to put anything. I do the same thing every day. I wake up. I walk into my house, do work, walk into my bed.
Where were you before you woke up?
Well, I mean, I was in my bed, and then I went to work in the other room, and then I go back to bed, and then I don't ever leave my place. There's nothing to anchor onto. I now have football games to think like, oh, hey, that was around that time.
Yeah, you might have my kickoffs.
Nathan makes a great point, though, and that's so true. When Patty has a full offseason, a full summer, a lot of time to dissect you, and then, three, 4 weeks to 2 weeks, I guess it's been, since those guys played, he will have these guys dialed in. They will know what they need to know on the defensive side of the ball, what I was doing. So I feel really confident in that. So that's a great point. If you look at his record of teams he's had, bowl games he had time to study for, he's outstanding. So good point.
Just comes down to their execution at that point.
Yeah. So a couple of just TCU notables I wanted to end this little segment on before we say goodbye. Mark Cohen is the TCU associate AD for the media and communications, and he puts together a great little media packet with just tons of information about TCU and all the game matchups through the decades. And one, this is an easy one, but we'll point it out, is that TCU is the only school in the nation to lead its conference in total defense in each of the last three seasons. So once again, we're all talking about Gary's defense. So that's just a perfect example of just how dependable his defense is. And then lastly, kind of a sidebar, but we all enjoyed Coach Patterson releasing his singles over the course of COVID. So he released two music singles in which he wrote and provided he was the lead on the vocals. And one, the first one was called Take a Step Back. He wrote that back he released it in April, right after COVID was announced. And then just recently another song called Game On. So make sure you go to iTunes and download those. I bet they play them at the game. That would be fun if they did.
I don't have to.
They do.
That's pretty cool.
I want to see the music video.
Coach P's the halftime show. What do you mean?
Yeah, he's going to jump out there like Teddy. It'll be great.
He might be.
If he moseys out into the field right before the start of the game with his guitar. I want to see him and Super Frog walk out in the middle of the field instead of having that stupid Go Frog guy. I want to see Coach Patterson serenade us from the 50. I think that'd be great.
Frog Daddy's got to play a guitar, though.
Yes.
No, that'll be
all great. Right.
All right, so I guess with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. Quick note, because of I know a lot of you aren't going to be able to make it to the game, just a reminder that if you go on to killerfrogs.com and go to the forum, you can participate in our game day thread. I'll be posting a little bit of play-by-play information, inside information that we get up in the press box, up in that game thread all game long. Feel free to contribute. It's a lot better than going through the wasteland of Twitter. And of course, you can follow Killer Frogs on all the major social media accounts. And, you know, guys, football is upon us, and that is something very special. So as we end it tonight, let's all get the frogs up, and let's say, to start the season, go Frogs!